Hi, welcome to the Nonprofit Mastermind Podcast, where every week I do a deep dive into the strategies and mindset behind launching, scaling, and leading a high-impact nonprofit. I'm your host, Rick Ritchie Babbage. Working to make the world a more just and beautiful place is messy, complex, heart-wrenching, and ultimately deeply joyful and fulfilling work. And none of us can do it alone. That's why I started this podcast, this mastermind community, to hold space for and share the learnings and the questions and the grapplings and the actual concrete strategies that allow us to move our social impact work forward together. So welcome to the mastermind. I'm so glad you're here. Hello, and welcome to the final episode in my four-part mini-series on smart nonprofit growth. So for the last three episodes, this is the fourth one, I have been talking about what to focus on if you want to grow your organization, and specifically looking at each of the stages of development, both that organizations go through globally and that parts of your organization will go through at different points along the way. Throughout the series, I've been making the sort of general argument that the best way to grow your organization is not to focus on the metrics and the milestones that we so often point to, like the size of your budget or the size of your staff or even the size of your board. That those metrics of sort of success or stability or growth even can be a distraction sometimes from what is actually going to help us grow our impact, grow our budget in a way that is stable and sustainable. My argument is that instead of just looking at those metrics, they are important numbers and you want to track them, but instead of just looking at them or even using them sort of outsized indicators of something that they are not actually indicators of, which is health, organizational health, the best thing to do is actually to notch down and focus on the stage of development. The specific characteristics and goals of each stage of development and the sort of strategic clarity, the organizational capacity, and the fundraising and finance or capital milestones that are aligned with where you actually are. So I do a deeper dive into all of this in my free four-part webinar series called Focus on Growth. And you can get that at richiebabbage.com/focus on growth. Each of the four webinars in that series takes a much closer look at what it means to actually think about your board, think about your budget, think about your strategy at each stage of development. So I've spent four episodes on this because I think it's really super important. It's really important not to get caught up in where you think you're supposed to be organizationally, or what you think your fundraising is supposed to look like, what you think other organizations are doing that looks like it's working so well. First of all, generally, comparison is like the devil. So it's never good to do that, but we are human people and that is what we do. And so I like to really focus on this in my own coaching and in my own work, this idea of paying attention to what actually matters, right? If you're going to look around and say, hey, what should I be learning? What should I be focusing on? What could I do differently or better? The thing you want to focus on is your stage of development and actually make sure that the comparisons you're making are to the right things. Looking generally at, again, an organization's budget size or an organization's board size or who's on the board or the kind of staff they have, the kind of events they're throwing, new program launches, expansion, those things can be at best misleading. Because you don't actually know what's happening at the base of the iceberg. What you see is above the surface, right? The tip of the iceberg above the water. You're not actually seeing all of the things that go into those metrics, right? That go into the event that they threw or the staff that they're hiring. You're not seeing the resource allocation, the strategic choices that are being made about where to focus attention, what questions to ask, what goals to set, what challenges to face versus the challenges to sort of ignore or let go of. And yes, there are challenges that you should ignore and let go of sometimes if they are not the right ones to be focused on for your stage of development. So at best, it can be misleading. At worst, it can actually distract resources away from where it would be healthier for you to focus them. So let me give you an example. This is a really basic example. It's not a real thing, but I just want to illustrate my point. So imagine you have 20 people on your donor list and they each gave $250 in the past year. And you don't have a pipeline of new prospective donors, right? Sort of this pool of people is what you've got. The next best goal for your fundraising is not probably to raise $1 million from individuals. That's just not the stage you're in. That's not where you are. It's not the infrastructure you have. You don't have the system set up. You're not organizationally prepared to go from 20 people each giving $250 to $1 million. Should you, can you set a goal of raising $1 million from individuals? Absolutely. I love big, bold, audacious goals. Is that the next best step? Right? The next best step or thing for you to focus on? Probably not. And spending resources to achieve that goal is inefficient, will make you frustrated, will mean that you're having conversations with your board and your staff that they are not prepared to have. Instead, you'd want to allocate and aim resources towards things like building your donor base, right? Creating a pipeline of prospective donors at different giving points, lower, mid, major donor points, right? You need to build some infrastructure internally and some systems for being consistent in bringing in revenue, right? There are next best steps on your way to perhaps the goal ultimately of $1 million from individuals. So that's just, like I said, not a real example, but just to illustrate the point that having long-term goals, having bold goals, having growth goals is wonderful. And for those of you who have been longtime listeners, you've heard me talk about the importance of having a clear and compelling North Star that sort of orients you, right, in the tempest tossed of running your organization. What I'm talking about in this series is how to zero in on the next best step in the movement towards that bigger goal. So in this final series episode, I'm going to paint the picture of the adult organization. We've talked about the infancy. We've talked about putting down anchors in sort of the childhood phase. We've talked about growth stages, and I broke them out into early growth stage, the teen years, and late growth stage, like young adult years. So now I'm going to talk about adult organizations, mature organizations, its characteristics, and also its challenges, what to look out for. So a mature organization or an adult organization is mostly characterized by stability. Its work and its operations are mission aligned. It has the right programs. And by that, I mean, they are not sprawling sort of mini funded separate enterprises, but they are grounded. They are rooted in impact and they are driven by impact. They have some kind of coherent relationship to one another. The operations are rooted in systems and the organization is having a measurable impact and it's able to measure its impact. This could be a really happy place for an organization to be. Things are working, systems are in place. People know their roles and their jobs. This is often when folks on a team will look around and think things are clicking, right? Things are just working well. It's a nice phase to be in. And if you remember in the last episode, I talked about how these phases of development can happen organization-wide, right? You can look around and say, the organization is clicking right now, right? We've got the strategic clarity. We've got the right team, the right people in the right roles. Got a good relationship with my board. Our funding isn't feast or famine. It's mission aligned, good relationships with funders and diverse streams of revenue, all the things, right? You can also look and say that one piece of your organization is clicking, right? The clarity is clicking, that you have a strategic plan that is the right one and that you're excited about, irrespective of whether the other elements of the organization are clicking. Maybe you're still about your team, right? Maybe you're still figuring out the fundraising piece, but you look and you say, this clarity piece, I've got this right now. Like, we're good with that. So this maturity can be organization-wide or can be in specific sort of parts or pieces or elements of your organization. When you're thinking about the adult phase of development, you're really talking about, in the clarity bucket, real strategic clarity about where the organization is going. There is a robust set of long-term priorities and goals and a clear vision for sort of the cathedral that you're building, right? What the end result of your organizational building might be. And you can paint a real picture of that. And these long-term priorities and goals inform annual strategic goal setting and work planning. The whole team is involved in annual planning, and the plan then actually informs the budget, which in turn shapes the fundraising strategy. So there's a real synergy between these three anchor documents: your strategic plan, your budget, and your fundraising strategy. Too often organizations work on these three things in silos, right? They do some strategic planning long-term, maybe they do some annual planning, and that's great. They have a budget that is often, unfortunately, largely based on last year's budget, some iteration of last year's budget. And I say, unfortunately, I've talked about this in other podcasts and trainings, that the most effective budget, meaning a tool that you can actually use as a storytelling tool, an internal planning tool, an external storytelling and fundraising marketing tool, the most effective budget is actually going to be a growth budget that is a direct reflection of your strategic priorities and goals. In these mature organizations, you have real synergy between these three documents. They tell the exact same story in different ways. You have a clear idea of the work that you are going to hold yourself accountable for actually doing, the impact that you are aiming for. You have a very clear understanding of what that work costs, that's the budget, and you have worked with your team to identify the strategies for bringing in the resources necessary. That's your fundraising plan. In a mature organization, you're also talking about having established some more structured and formal organizational structures and processes, like an infrastructure, bones of the organization. There is a strong leadership team. Now, this is going to look different depending on the sort of hierarchy or structure of your organization. It's not always the case that you have an executive director and sort of core directors at a director level or managers, but you have clarification of roles, and not everything rests on the organizational leader's shoulders. Right? There is real delegation. There is real co-ownership, shared ownership among a small group of people. There's differentiation in roles and a pipeline for growth, so people can see where they're going inside the organization. There are strong HR protocols, and those protocols, like equitable compensation bands, for example, they reflect work that's being organized around roles and around value. Right, the value that the roles are bringing and the people are bringing in service of impact. They're not organized around specific people, and the orientation is towards demonstration of value between team members and through things like meaningful compensation. The board, as part of the team, right? You think about capacity for an organization to carry out its mission or sort of the people power it needs. The staff is one part of that, and the board is another, right? In a mature organization, the board is a strong thought partner. They understand their governance role is distinct from, say, an executive or operations role, which can be tricky in growing organizations, but they're thought partners and they're ambassadors. They're able to see how they fit, both as a team and into the ecosystem of the organization, and they're able to help bring resources into the organization. And then finally, in the capital space, right, funding and finance, In a mature organization, you're talking about diversification of funding and a strong fundraising system or engine, I like to call it. This means that the organization is not in feast or famine mode. Right? And I remember the feast or famine years when I was running an organization. We had this is actually a great example of why budget size isn't necessarily always an indication of organizational health, right? Or organizational maturity, if we're going to use the life cycle terminology. So when I was probably, our budget was probably around like maybe 600K. I went through this sort of phase where I could see where the money was going to come from, right? We had great funding relationships. I'd built up a really nice sort of base of major and mid-level donors. But when I actually looked at how money came in, it came in like 5 months of the year. And so it would sort of come in at the end of the year through the last quarter. We were in a calendar fiscal year, the last quarter of the year, the holiday giving. And then January through like April, it would just sort of go down and we would just sort of spend it, right? We did a lot of work with young people in schools. And so spring was huge programming. We often did our hiring at the beginning of the year. New board members came on towards the end of the year. So their gifts came in at the end of the year. There just was no alignment between how money was coming in, how we were spending money. We weren't very strategic about it. So the money was there, the budget, you know, the numbers were there, but the organizational systems, the finance systems, the analysis of the cadence of giving, who gave when cliffs were coming, that level of analysis took some time, right? And that's how I was able to see when we were actually mature in terms of our capital. It was not the size of our budget or how much we were able to raise every year. It was that in combination with knowing that we'd identified the right constellation of funding strategies for us, being able to identify sort of key financial indicators of health and have real conversations on the board level about things like a reserve, how we were going to use that, how we were going to even out the feast or famine. So the maturity in the capital space is not just the size of your budget. It means that there is a system in place. There is an engine for bringing in money consistently and in a way that is aligned with how the organization spends money, that there is a level of analysis of finances that is able to give the board and the executive leadership sort of the information it needs to make real strategic decisions about programming, hiring, operations, et cetera. The goal here, the goal for the mature organization, the core area of focus, all of these things are in place, is on deepening impact. You've got a strong foundation. And so now it's time to think about leveraging that stability to look outwards and to take your impact and your sort of message, your footprint to the next level. So at this stage, you want to be asking yourself, what is our unique point of view? What is our unique impact? What have we learned from our work, our partnerships, our impact to date that we can translate for others? Right? How can we leverage our impact and our stability to expand our network, to expand our reach, to have a bigger footprint in the lives and communities that we care about? An example of this might be if you have a strong leadership team, how can they become more vocal spokespeople for the organization? Speaking on stages, writing on behalf of the organization. How can we leverage our team in ways that get more eyes on the organization, builds our reputation, begins to attract rather than requiring us to chase funding, new board members, et cetera? If you have really strong donor and funding partners, how can you leverage those to initiate new relationships? How can you activate your existing sort of investors, funding partners, donors as ambassadors to be out in the world doing some of the heavy lifting of bringing new people into your ecosystem on your behalf, right? That's next level or leveraged impact. Organizations at this stage are also thinking about thought leadership, right? Building a reputation and having a point of view that people understand as unique and impactful. And because of the stability of this stage, they're able to focus on leveraging that externally. Now, on the flip side, here's what you want to look out for at this stage. It can be really easy for silos to develop. Differentiation of roles, the standardization of agreements and norms sort of on a team into things like organizational policies and procedures. These things are good, right? They help to stabilize the organization as it grows. And they can become really rigid, right? So in the earlier stages, infancy, particularly childhood, we talked about being nimble. So the nimbleness of the early stages, which fostered innovation and vision and led to growth, this can give way to a holding on to a sense of safety and a desire to avoid the kind of risks that actually keep organizations in a stance of being responsive to the people and the communities that they serve. So there's a calibration there, right? Standardization, systemization, stability, but also responsiveness, making sure that your feedback loop isn't calcified, making sure that you do not become stagnant. It's really critical at this stage to ask yourself, are we calcifying? Right? What are the opportunities for growth and perhaps thinking differently, innovation, testing new things, new ideas that we are not thinking of, that we are avoiding because we look around and things are clicking and this feels way better than things not clicking. On a deeper level, you want to ask yourself, are we still set up to continue learning, for the leadership to continue learning, for our team to continue learning, and to do something with what we learn? It does not mean new programs and expansion all the time. Being open to growth and innovation and continued learning can also just mean looking at, continuing to look at the things that are working internally and through your programs and getting even clearer about the things that aren't, right? And using your continued learning as a way to refine and fix the things that aren't. You also want to look at pipelines for development within the organization. It can be really, really nice to look around and say, I've got the right team, right? We are a really good team. I loved that feeling. I loved my team. And I wanted to make sure that the people on my team saw space for growth inside the organization so that they didn't have to look elsewhere to grow professionally and to bring sort of their best selves 3 years from now to the organization in ways that might be different than what we had signed up for together when they first joined the team. And so leaving that space open, even in a mature organization, can be really important. So as you are thinking about your own organization, here's what I want you to ask yourself. Are there aspects of our capital, right, our fundraising, our finance, of our capacity, our team, our board, our broader structured networks like advisors, junior boards, et cetera, or our strategic clarity, our strategic plan, our annual plan, our messaging? Are there aspects of those things that are more mature than others? And we use that maturity to help bolster and strengthen the other areas that are perhaps not as further along. Do you have a really solid strategic vision, real clarity about where the organization is going and how to get there? If so, can you use that to strengthen your team and your capacity? Can you bring them into that vision? Can you train the people on your team to talk about the strategic vision with potential funders and donors and build the capacity of your capacity, right, of your team and your board? So how can you leverage the maturity of certain areas in your organization to support growth in other areas? Ultimately, the key takeaway here is that it's really important to understand your readiness and prepare to grow by looking at the next stage of development, by understanding the characteristics and milestones of the stage you're in, and then crafting your plans and deciding what your next best steps are based on the next stage of growth. looking at the challenges that are specific to where you are, looking at the milestones that are specific to where you are, and then set your goals based on where you need to go next. If you do that, then you will be ensuring that your growth stays stable, that you are calibrating the clarity, capacity, and capital questions and issues that arise in every organization, that you are calibrating correctly, not based on what you think you're seeing in other organizations, calibrating the relationship between facing challenges and setting goals, that you're actually taking steps and moving at a pace that is right for your organization. So that's it for this mini series. I encourage you to make your way through all four. And even if you are sort of in a mature space, to think about, are there any aspects of your clarity, capital, or capacity that are less mature? Look at the milestones and the characteristics and the challenges that I highlighted and the goals that I highlighted for each phase, and see if this life cycles framework can help you assess where your organization is and get really clear about the next right steps in your own development. I also encourage you to check out the resources that I've shared, in particular, the growth stage webinars. So the Focus on Growth series, again, is at richiebabbage.com/Focus on Growth. It's a great series, and it will allow you to sort of take the next step in what I'm talking about here. That's it for this week, and I will see you next week for more Mastermind. Thank you for joining me for this week's episode of the Nonprofit Mastermind podcast. If you liked this podcast, I would also love for you to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you think that what we talk about here could benefit another leader in your life, please share with your friends. Finally, if you'd like more leadership in your life, you can sign up for my weekly 5-minute read, Leadership Forward 321 newsletter. I send articles, resources, and inspiration every week curated around a leadership theme to help you lead your nonprofit better. You can sign up at richiebabbage.com/leadershipforward321. That's it for this week. Thank you for joining me, and I'll see you back here next week for more Mastermind.